Wilson's Creek Battlefield is well recognized for its link to the site of the third major battle of the Civil War, which happened on these grounds in 1861. The National Park Service cares and maintains this historic land, but as Ted Hilmer, superintendent for the National Park Service at Wilson's Creek, explains, there is much more here to preserve and share.
It is a national battlefield, but it is also a cultural resource. And because it is a cultural resource, there's things that we went through here for a cultural landscape report that we want to preserve.
One of those is what is known as the Ray House. Hilmer shares the structure was one of the only buildings not burned during the Civil War and was left standing in what was known as Wilson Township, a town of around 150 people in those days. Mr. John Ray had been a farmer, but he was also a federal employee, as his home doubled as a local post office. After the battle, the Ray House became a makeshift hospital. Telling the story of the battle is important, says Hilmer, but it is also the ability to preserve the time, place, and landscape as it was back in the time of the battle. This area had been a small community of mainly farmers who were very self-sufficient and were able to meet most of their own needs themselves. Hilmer shares that the area, which later became the battlefield, had been open farmland, which in those days was the traditional European style of battle.
But these open areas, especially the Bloody Hill area where most of the battle took place, we've tried to keep those an open area.
The Park Service maintains open fields to this day, typically by mowing and prescribed burns. In addition to keeping the battlefield clear and reminiscent of how it looked in the mid-1800s, efforts are also made to preserve the natural flora. Hilmer says that one native species of oak maintained here could tell the story of the battle, if only trees could talk.
We have chinkapink oaks here, which is a branch off of the oak tree, but they're 160 years old.
In addition to preserving these treasured oaks, the Park Service also works to preserve a protected plant species, the bladder pod. The bladder pod is a threatened species of annual plant that grows between 4 to 8 inches tall. It is known for its distinct small canary yellow flowers. These native plants were part of the landscape over 150 years ago and are protected today in an effort to preserve a real-life snapshot of what life was like during that time.
So therefore, we're here to help with explain what the bladder pod is for us. For the state of Missouri, the chinkapink oaks are very much of our cultural landscape plan. The Telegraph Road, that's very important for the cultural landscape. The Battlefield Overland Stagecoach route, very important to the solving the West problem, getting mail to California. I mean, that's part of this cultural landscape plan too.
Telegraph, or Wire Road, as it was named for being lined with telegraph poles, connected Rolla to Fayetteville in those days, explains Hilmer. Part of the road remains today in front of the Ray House. This little town of Wilson's Township was also a stop along the route of the Butterfield Overland Stagecoach, which made its stops at the Ray House, in part to transport the mail. Maintaining a piece of history and remembering the past is part of the mission, explains Hilmer, but learning from the past and how it applies to today is another part.
The cultural landscape resource is being used today by our soldiers in the Army to protect the United States.
Fort Leonard Wood has three colleges, explains Hilmer, and often troops will take field trips out to Wilson's Creek Battlefield and practice maneuvers in the open fields. Hilmer shares the modern-day technology can make a person become reliant, but what happens when those things fail?
Having the soldiers out here and having them think like what Lyon had to do on his feet, because he had to make those snap decisions too, they might remember certain things when they're out in the field protecting the United States and thinking about what happened.
One of the biggest challenges, explains Hilmer, is keeping history alive for future generations. He shares his own passion began as a child vacationing and camping with his family. He adds that his passion followed him into adulthood and his own family traveled to national parks learning about history and what different places had to offer. Hilmer says things are very different now.
So how do we get that next generation interested in so they can protect this valuable resource that I've spent 38 years trying to protect? How can we do that? Well, you do that by this thing, it's social media, and you do a lot of your promotion to the next generation.
Preserving history as accurately as possible while recreating new ways to attract future generations provide a platform for Hilmer and others to share a significant piece of our past.
To me, it's a wonderful story. So again, history can be taught and learned from, but you got to get people out here to do that.
For KSMU's Sense of Community, I'm Teresa Bettman.